الحمد لله الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وعلى آل سيدنا محمد وبارك وسلم If you look around and you look at any object in the environment, you see that almost everything, basically everything, is made for some type of purpose, right? So you make a chair so that you can sit, right? Everyone knows that, right? And everyone agrees that a chair is made to sit. Or they make a screwdriver so that it's having screws, or drive screws into whatever you need to drive the screw into, right? Now, if you were walking on the street and you saw someone, or you're walking on the street and you saw someone taking a screwdriver and trying to clean his ear, right? What would you say to that person?
Are you a robot?
Are you a robot? What else? What would you think about someone just literally walking down the street, huh?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, his clothes are definitely loose.
Actually, screwdrivers
Yeah. So, it looks very odd, right? You see that person is not intelligent. That person, there's something wrong with him, something wrong with his mind. He's using the screwdriver to clean his ears. Similarly, if someone takes the chair and uses it as a book rack, right, in their house, it will look, does it look nice or does it look odd? It looks odd, right? You look, what is this? So you go into someone's house, it's a beautiful mansion, and he has all these chairs and the books are sitting on the chairs. What's going on here? Every single thing has a purpose. And when it's used for its correct purpose, then there's a beauty to it, right? It looks beautiful. When it's put in the right place, in the right time, used in the right way, it looks beautiful. And if something is used for something other than its true purpose, then it looks odd, it looks ugly. Right? It looks out of place. Literally out of place. So, human beings are no exception to the rule. How many of you guys have heard of the term hikmah? What does hikmah mean? Right, okay, what else?
Mm-hmm.
Wisdom. Yeah, it's sort of a type of wisdom. So if I told you guys, what do you guys think wisdom means? What would you say? What is wisdom? What's a wise person? What's the characteristic of a wise person?
Somebody who can make the correct decision based on
the circumstances. Okay, so that's a very good definition. Someone who can make the right decision based on whatever the circumstances are present. Okay, what else? Any other thoughts?
Someone who has more knowledge.
Okay, so someone who uses more knowledge, and maybe we can combine this with that, someone who uses their knowledge to make the right decision in the right time, in the right place. And so I added a little bit to that. There's many definitions that the ulama have written about what actually is hikmah, right? But one of the definitions that I always have liked is the ability to put the right thing in the right place at the right time. Right? Whether that thing is a decision or that thing is an object. So if you're an interior designer, right, and somehow you just can't get that vase to go, and they say, hey, why don't you put it over there? They're like, oh, that's a wise move, right? Or you're a chess player and you're in the corner, right? And you only have your king left, right? And your king in one pawn. And then you checkmate the other guy to say, oh, that's pretty wise. Right? He made a good move. Not only is he intelligent, but he's wise because he knows how to get done what he needs to get done. He knows how to put things in the right place. And so similarly, the person who is wise, when we're talking about everything having a purpose, the human being is also created with a purpose, right? Each one of us also has a purpose. Some of us know what that purpose is, and some of us don't know what that purpose is. And for many of us who don't know what our purpose is, the reason that we're made, right? Like when the manufacturer was making this chair, he had some idea in the back of his mind what that chair is being used for, right? There's some, it is said that there's a famous designer who said that it's a very bad statement, a very prejudicial statement, but he said that if I knew that my clothing would be worn by such and such a race, I wouldn't have even made it. Right? I wouldn't have even manufactured it, right? Because in the back of his mind, he had a certain reason why he wanted a certain class of people, a certain type of people to wear his clothes with his name on it, right? And when those people didn't do it, he's like, I wish I didn't even make it. So, all of us are also manufactured, in a way, right? And our manufacturers, our sonnet, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He also made us with a certain purpose in mind. And if we don't live up to that purpose, how do you think Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala feels about us? First of all, how do you think we look to any person? Hold on. Okay. So, we would look odd. We would look out of place, right? I don't even know how to use these things. So you look odd, you look out of place, it would look ugly. And the person who's being doing those things, acting in the way, living out his true purpose, the reason he was made, it will look beautiful. Right? And the person who does that, we won't call him stupid or dumb, we would call him wise, right? Because he's taking his own body, his own soul, and using it, and making the right decision in the right circumstance, and that circumstance happens to be his life. So this question is not a new question. What is the purpose of life, right? I don't know, when I was small, there used to be some cartoon. Pinky and the Brain, right? Something like that. I don't know if they still have that. I don't know, some of you guys like smiling because you've seen that, right? What was that?
They have it in Jordan.
They have it in Jordan? So Pinky and the Brain, so there's like this brain guy who wants, I don't know which one, I think Pinky was like the dodo and Brain was the guy who wanted to take over the whole world, right? And then there used to be this one mouse in there, he was like a French mouse, right? And he was like a philosopher or something. He's like, to be or not to be, right? And he'd always be like making his philosophies and like that, like everyone would get sick and tired of him. But just like that, there's so many people in the history of mankind who always are sitting and they sit and just think, what is the purpose of my life? What is the purpose of man? And then they write books, and then form organizations, and they do this. And this has been going on for hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands of years. The people, man has been sitting and thinking, what am I doing here? Right? What is my purpose? So, what do you guys think that, well, the conclusion that they came to in this age of scientific modernism, in this age of advanced technology, what do you think the philosophers, the intelligent people, the intellectuals, what type of conclusion did they come to that man was created for? Okay, so they haven't come to a conclusion? Well, I'll take that one step. So someone said nothing, and that's sort of like the existentialist school of thought. There's a school of thought called the existentialism, which basically says that we just exist, right? And there's no purpose, and then there's, when people have to face it, they say that it's so ugly and so difficult for people, it's called an existentialist crisis. Okay, it's like a life crisis. But then there are people who went beyond that, and then they said that, no, let's look more. And then he said that they haven't decided. And it's gone to the point where it's not like they haven't decided. They're basically saying we'll never be able to decide. We'll never know. It's called like postmodernism. I don't know if you guys have heard that term before. You never know. There's no truth. Everything goes. Right? There's no truth. There's no purpose. There's no way to know. Just leave it. So they gave up. But the Quran, 1400 years ago, not only the Quran, every single book that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent on his noble messenger's tongue, or he revealed unto his noble messengers, came with instructions to mankind. They were like manuals. I just got, what did we get? This I'm trying to make my set up a wireless network at home, right? And I couldn't do it on the computer, so I looked through the manual, and I still can't do it because it's too complicated, right? But when you come with something, and this is a simple like network, right? Like a two computer network, and I wasn't able to figure out. Now, if you take the human body, right, with this extreme complexity, there's so many neural networks, there's so many circulatory networks, there's lymphatic networks, every single thing, according with that, the soul, the nafs, thoughts, emotions, you take all of that, and to say that that type of machine is there without a manual, it's hard to believe. Right? It wouldn't be fair for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just to throw us and say, figure it out. Because if you just had to figure it out, then you end up like all these philosophers and you'd be like, oh, we don't know. Right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just told us, and He says it actually in one, even though all of mankind has written maybe hundreds and thousands and not millions of pages on this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in one line what the purpose of mankind is. Like, first of all, does anyone know? Hamza? You're right. You got it. So, there's an ayah in the Quran, in Surah Zariyat, right? So this is something that you guys should actually look up. It's in towards the end of the surah. So if you guys want to find it in the Quran, you would open up to the 27th juz, right? The 27th sipara, and then turn over the first page, and it should be on the second page, right towards the end of the surah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. That we did not create jinn and mankind except for one reason. What is that one reason? To worship me alone. That's the reason that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us. So that's the reason. At least we know why we're existing. Right? Why are we here? Two? Okay, what was the word in, what was the word that the ayah said? Worship, right? So that's the next thing I wanted to talk about. Because as soon as we say worship, the first thing that comes into our mind is praying namaz. So if that was the purpose of our life, was only to pray namaz, then we could not do any single other thing except for praying namaz. But Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, did he do other things? He did. So was he going against the ayah of the Quran? No. So how do you reconcile that? The word ibadah means much more than just praying. Ibadah means to do the thing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to do, right? With the right intention in the way that it was done by Rasulullah. Okay, you want an easy explanation? If you do something with a good intention and you do it in a way that is Islamic, that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did it, then that thing can become ibadah. Now if you take that definition, can going to school become an ibadah? You can't, right? Can going to work become an ibadah? Can helping around the house doing chores become an ibadah? Can sitting here become an ibadah? Right? Easily. And so what becomes our purpose is to make sure that every single aspect, every single thing that we do becomes ibadah. Because if you do that, then you're living out the reason that you were made. It doesn't mean that you have to like shut off your whole life and just sit in that corner over there in the masjid and say, this is my corner. Right? No one bother me. That's la rahbaniyata fil Islam, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. Aw kama qala. That there's no monkhood in Islam. We're not a people of monkhood. But when you, if you made the intention, for example, that, Ya Allah, I go every day to educate myself so that I can write things that will advance the cause of Islam, so that I can understand the world that exists around me, so I can appreciate your signs, so that I can go and eventually provide for my family, and this is something that you have mandated upon the men. I want to go and learn this knowledge so I can give good da'wah to other individuals. I want to go and use this knowledge to serve the deen, to serve your religion. And there are people who have. That means that when you go to school, you shouldn't be in the back of my mind, oh, I'm going to go to school and then I'm going to become a doctor and then I'm going to be driving a BMW. Right? That's the wrong intention. Then it doesn't become ibadah. Right? You're going to go through the same process anyway. But I'll tell you, my physics teacher, he was a PhD in physics and I think in chemistry, right, in high school. Now, those type of people are, they're teaching, they're like working in colleges making six-digit salaries, right? Like they're, he went and he lived like in poverty, right? And he would teach us, and he would teach us all day, and he would teach us in after school, and he would teach us on the weekends, and he invested in so many, you know, each one of the students, mashallah, so many of the students went on to go to great, great, great institutions, Northwestern, they went into medical programs, MIT, I mean, they went to top-notch schools. So he gave so much service to so many people, but he sacrificed a lot. I mean, you used to see his car. It was like a beaten-up, old car that you're like, what is that type of thing, you know? But he would just be there, and he'd just be worried about us. And it just so happens that one time he had gone to the Kaaba, and he's from Ethiopia, and he had a big impression in my life, because he was one of the first people who taught me what it means to sacrifice, right? What it means to sacrifice. He went to the Kaaba and he said, Ya Allah, he came from Ethiopia or Eritrea, one of these very poor people. You guys see the pictures on TV about these people who are emaciated and they have nothing to eat, and you know, little kids who are starving to death. He came from that and he became a PhD. It was a big deal over there. So he said, he went to the Kaaba and he said, Ya Allah, you gave me this knowledge to bring me this far. Oh Allah, please use this knowledge to serve your deen. And that's literally what happened. He taught it in the Sami school. He made peanuts, but he knew at the end of the day that he had done it for Allah. Right? There's a great satisfaction in that. There's another example of another individual who was the Prime Minister of Trinidad Tobago. I think Trinidad. He was one of the former Prime Ministers of Trinidad, and he was a Muslim. And basically, you know, he could live like so rich, but he purposely chose to live like a complete poor person, and guess how many meals he would eat a day? Two meals a day of basic, just chawal and some dal, not even gosh and stuff. And you know why he did that? He said, I live poor like this because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala raises me on the day of judgment, I don't want the poor people to make an objection against me that, oh Allah, we were so poor and this person was so rich, how come he didn't help us out? Okay. There are people who've made sacrifices. Not to say that you can't have any money in life, but that shouldn't be our intention. That's not our purpose, right? So there are people that you'll find many people out there who that's their whole life is about making good money, making a good living, getting a good degree, starting a family, and starting the whole cycle again, getting your kids to grow up, having them get a good degree so that they can get money. And then they have kids, so then you want their kids to go to good colleges and then to get a good job so that they can have more money. And that becomes their whole purpose. And what do we say? If that becomes your purpose, that's very... It's not intelligent, right? It's very ugly to do something like that. That's not what the human being was made for. You could be doing this, two people can be doing the same exact thing, but your intention will change the whole perspective. That every single minute that you're studying for that English test that you hate can still become ibadah. Every single math problem that you're doing, you're like, man, I have 50 problems. Then you won't feel bad because you're like, man, I'm getting one sawab for writing this. I'm doing two sawabs for writing this. You can get rewarded for it. But your intention has to be right. Now what happens is that when your ibadah, and what happens is when you really do correct ibadah, then just three things. Your love, your obedience, and your fear are only for one person. Who? Allah. You can only love Allah, you can only fear Allah, you can only obey Allah. He's at the center of your life. That's why we were made. So you're like, oh yeah, that's true. Of course. Who else? But don't we fear things besides Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? So much. We fear like being Islamic because if we go to school, people will say such and such a thing. Right? We're fearing someone else. Or we know that you're not supposed to do X, Y, and Z. But we love that thing to do so much. Like we know we shouldn't be watching a certain television show. Or we know we should be listening to our parents. But we love our nafs so much that we forget about what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us and just follow our nafs. Right? And just do what we want. Right? So we're not obeying Allah, we're obeying something else. Right? We obey ourselves, we obey our desires. We know that we shouldn't buy something, right? We know it's a waste of money. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ. Allah SWT doesn't like those people who are wasteful. No, it was a complete waste. But we just love that thing. And that love takes us more than our love for Allah SWT, and we do that thing. So that means that we're not really true people who do the true ibadah of Allah. The people who do the true ibadah of Allah, they become through the certain spiritual level, which is called, okay, I want you guys to remember this word, it's called abd. What is it? Abd. That is the highest, highest, highest level that you can reach in Islam, to become an abd. This was the level of the prophets, right? Alayhim salam. You know, like when you go to school and you say that, okay, I'm going to get a bachelor's degree. After a bachelor's, oh yeah, high school degree. Then I'm going to go get a BS. After BS, maybe I'll get a MS. After MS, what is it? PhD. What's after PhD? You get a postdoc, right? You know, I want to do postdoc. I want to do two postdocs. So then there's certain degrees that someone can say that, okay, this is, I'm a professor emeritus at such and such university. This is a terminal degree, right? This is a final degree. The final degree that you can get in the deen is called becoming an abd, right? So high, so high, so high, you become very close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that's why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to honor Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any one time he talks about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a place where he wants to honor him, he uses the word abd to describe Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I'll give you an example, and you guys read it every single day in namaz. Think about it. When do you say abd in namaz? When do you say abd in namaz? When do you say that word? Think. Right. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu. Right. I bear witness that there is no God but you, and I bear witness, that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is your abd. Meaning that he is the highest level. What was another point where Rasulullah was really honored? When he went on Isra and Mi'raj, right? You guys know what Isra and Mi'raj is? That's when Rasulullah, he went and he went up into the heavens, right? Went to Jerusalem on the Buraq. So, what is Allah going to say about that? Hamza will be memorized this part. Subhanalladhi. So, Subhanalladhi, glory be to Allah, Asra bi'abdihi, who did the Isra with his abd. Right? He did the night journey with his abd, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And just like that, each one, the anbiya are defined in the Quran, the prophets are defined in the Quran as being the abd of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, to make things simple for us, what should be in the back of our minds is that in our life, before we die, we should have in our hearts the desire, Ya Allah, I want to become your abd before I die. At least if you make that sincere intention, and then you die, we hope that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can at least reward us for that intention. Right? It's not an easy road. Let me tell you, to become an abd is not an easy road. It's a long road, it takes a lot of work, and it takes a lot of sacrifice. And if you don't start working on it today, then it's going to be very hard to reach that point. No, illa masha'Allah, except if Allah wills. So, one thing that we should have in the back of our minds, I'm sure many of our, in the back of our minds, we had a certain idea and that, you know, one day I want to do this with my life, or I want to become this in my life. But many of us might not have said that I want to become an abd in my life. So from this day forward, then everyone should at least, when they pray their salah, when they make dua, at least make this dua that, oh Allah, make me up. Oh Allah, make me up. And you should try to do it with every salah, right? It's only one sentence. And who knows, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can have mercy and make anyone an abd. There's so many benefits of becoming an abd. If you become an abd, one benefit is you're never afraid of anything, and you don't have any sadness, right? No real sadness, ultimately. Ala inna awliya Allahi la khawfun alayhim wa lahum yahsanun. They're not going to have any fear, and they're not going to have any sadness on the day of Qiyamah. They're not going to feel bad, oh, you know, I didn't get to go out with the guys and do X, Y, and Z. No regrets, right? You'll have a good life. فَلَنُحْيَيَنَّهُ حَيَاةٌ طَيِّبًا. You'll have a beautiful life. you'll have an easy hisab, inshallah, on the day of Qiyamah. So for you, hasabu hisaban yaseera, Allah will make your hisab so easy. Right? You, when you give account to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He makes it so easy. And then you can become the very close friend of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many of you guys have friends? I hope everyone. Some people didn't raise their hand. They're so shy. Everyone has a friend, right? Now, has anyone had a friend that they've never gotten to fight with? Or their friend has never done anything that they don't like, right? And their friend, does anyone have a friend that can give them anything that they want? No one has a friend. They can give you anything. Yeah? Allah is the only friend that can do that. And you can become Allah's friend. There are people who become the friends of Allah. They talk to Allah, they walk with Allah, not like walk with Allah, but you know what I mean? They're connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. So we should have this desire, this yearning in our hearts that, oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we hope that one day we can also become your Abd, we can become your friend. So that's what I wanted to talk about. And I'm going to give you a practical thing just so it just doesn't become a talk. So now you guys are going to go play basketball. You can say that, Ya Allah, I'm going to go play basketball, right? Because I can create brotherhood with my other brothers, right? So we become closer in our bonds. And so that you have given me a body, and it's a responsibility, this is an amanah, this is a trust that you have given me, that I have to upkeep it. Because if you don't upkeep it, then you get shot knees, and then you can't even stand in prayer, and you'll be praying in one of these, right? That we talked about, began our talk with. And I don't want to get less ajr, I want to get more ajr. I want to be in a fit state so that I can go and work for the deen. So we made that intention, and you do the playing that you were going to do anyway. And sometimes it's hard to come up with an intention. Then you can ask Mufti Minhaj, you can ask Mufti Maharoon, if you want, you can come and ask me. They can help you make intentions for the different things that you're doing. So that's all I had to talk about, I think, for this week. Then there was a question that someone had asked. I know we usually leave some time for questions. The question was, you know, after sunnah prayers, you see a lot of people, they move their spot, right, after fard. Like when they want to pray the sunnah, they go and they move to somewhere else and they pray. So what's the deal with that? Why do people do that? Does someone know? Right. So that's the correct answer. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, إِذَا زُلْزِلَتِ الْأَرْضُ زِلْزَالَهَا وَخَرَجَتِ الْأَرْضُ أَثْقَالَهَا وَقَالَ الْإِنسَانُ مَا لَهَا يَوْمَئِذٍ تُحَدِّثُ أَخْبَارَهَا لِأَنَّ رَبَّكَ أَوْحَى لَهَا. That even the earth on the day of Qiyamah will start to speak. And it will tell everything that happened on its surface. And so the hope is by switching, like changing the spot, that every piece of earth, this piece of earth will also say, oh, you know, fula, this brother here, he prayed on me. And then that earth piece of earth will like, you know, he also prayed on me. So it'll look so nice when the whole masjid is going to be beseeching on your behalf, and even the places outside will be beseeching, and the different masajids and stuff. So that's sort of the idea about changing the spot. But it's not something which is like... Which one? I have to check. But it would be based on that ayah of the Quran. Are there any other questions?
I have a question about the blood drive.
Okay. Yeah, that's a little bit of a sticky issue. It's allowed to give blood in situations of necessity to other individuals. Now, it's a little bit different here because you don't know who it's going to and what the supply is. So that's something, this is one of the things I've been meaning just to download with Minhaj and talk about. Because it's sort of similar with the organ transplantation and all these types of things. That if you go like that, then there's always going to be necessity. That means that anyone can give their blood at any time. And generally, it's not, it's the reason that you want to do it is because your every part of your body is something which is respected in Islam. So you shouldn't just be like using it. Other people shouldn't like use your body. So people shouldn't take your hand and use it as like to jar the door or something. Technically speaking. So basically when people are using your blood, they're like using a part of your body. So that's sort of demeaning in a certain way. Even though over here it's for health purposes and medicinal purposes, but it's still deemed as a type of utilization, which is generally not good. But that's something inshallah I'll talk to Muslim and Hajj about. That's a good question. You ready to hoop? you can ask me maybe in, like, next week after Muslim and Hajj is there, here, and then I'll talk to him about it. I personally don't feel comfortable giving my own blood. I can say that. Whoever saves one life, it says that he has saved all of humanity. But you don't have to necessarily give your. I mean, there's certain situations, certain things that you can do. Like, for example, say you have to save someone else's life, but to save the other person's life, you have to go kill him, right? So obviously, you're not going to do one bad thing to do a good thing, you know? So in the same way over here, if you have to do a bad thing to do a good thing, then there's other ways that you can save people's life, like going and helping in a hospital or by, you know, rescuing a child from a burning building. Yeah, all the good stuff. Becoming a firefighter. How many of you guys want to become a firefighter when you grow up? No firefighter? Policeman? No policeman. Doctor? One doctor, two doctors, maybe three. Engineer? One engineer, two engineers. Computer engineers? Okay. Lawyers? Judges? Okay, yeah, we have one guy who wants to become a lawyer. What other fields do we have that I'm missing? Gardener? Astronaut? Pilot? Maybe? No. Maybe pilot? Huh? Player? Like a basketball player? Sports player? Many people have fantasies of becoming a sports player someday. One day. What type of player? What type?
Soccer.
Soccer? Okay. Soccer. Hockey? Okay. Get ready.
Forgot about that already.
Everyone should raise their hand now. That's what we spent the last half an hour talking about. Yeah, that's the moral of the story, right? You shouldn't forget that no matter what you want to do when you grow up, that regardless of what you're going to become, you should always become an abd. You can become a unit professional basketball player like Hakim Olajuwon, but he was still fast, right, in Ramadan, right? And there's many people who still hold on to their principle. You can become a physician. There's many physicians in our community, mashallah, who still make it to the masjid and still try to do the right thing every single day, you know? Sisters who go to and they're doing X, Y, and Z, but they're still going hijab and still observe the right principles that they need to do. So, something to keep in the back of your mind. The big story, the moral of today, I'm going to see if I can pick someone who isn't paying attention. What was the moral of today? I shouldn't say who wasn't paying attention, but who might have been paying attention. He wasn't paying attention right now. What's the moral of the story? Alright, you got it.
I don't know. Well, we live in future, my oldest sister goes to high school. She's probably the only person there in the first church.
MashaAllah.
There's like 1,000 kids.
There's like 1,000 kids in a certain school? In which school?
Kids Central.
Where is that? I just moved to St. Louis.
Kid Gerardo,
where is that?
It's another city in Missouri.
Oh, it's another city in Missouri.
It's like an hour and a half
away. Oh. You guys just come here on the weekend?
Well, not every sometimes.
Sometimes. Okay, mashallah. How old are you?
12. We come here for like the Holocaust.
Oh, okay, mashallah. That's good. Mashallah. Okay, so how many of you guys are going to the camp next week? Alright. We'll be ready. What's the question? Who has sign up sheets?
Forms.
Yeah, forms online. You can download it. Oh, yeah, that's true.
Well, don't
if there was, like, overnight,
I'll come. It's
it is
overnight. Yeah, they're throwing log cabins and canoeing and having all that. I really want, I feel like coming here. Villa wants to come, too. I just on call that weekend. So. Sounds like a lot of fun. You guys really enjoy that, you know? Enjoy yourself.
It's just a...
Yeah.
So on the middle track.